in the bulletin. I put verses in there. And I am going to read those verses, but I want to talk a little bit about what comes before, and then we're going to also read a little bit of what comes after. Because today, we're going to talk a little bit about the difference between judgment and justice. There's a difference. I was kind of hoping Kevin would be here this morning, because he's a judge, and I wanted to make sure I got it just right. But that's okay. He'll tell me later if I didn't. So, you know, it'll be just fine. He'll hear it on the podcast. He said, why didn't she bring me up in church? That wasn't necessary. The scripture reading, we're continuing in the Sermon on the Mount. Last couple weeks we've been talking about this. Someday I will teach a Bible study on this. It is one of the most revelatory sermons anyone's ever given. If you think Martin Luther King was controversial, you need to study this. If you think William Barber, who is one of our prophets now in our denomination, is revelatory, you need to read this. What Jesus says in here, folks, this turns the world on its head. And the people who are hearing it, for them, for a lot of them anyway, it's good news. But for a lot of folks, it's not. Because, as we discussed in Sunday school this morning, it's asking them to do something different. But we've never done it that way before. It's asking us to think about what's really truth. Right. Not what's convenient. Not what makes me happy. But what makes God happy. So we continue on, and we, you know, last week we talked about salt and light. We're the salt, and we're the light of the earth. We're supposed to be bringing those things into the world. And that salt and that light is not necessarily what you think it's going to be. And Jesus then goes on to say, in our verses for today, he goes on to say, let me give you a couple of examples of what you think it's going to be, and then I'll tell you what it really is. You have heard, he says in verse 21, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder. And whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you, if you are angry with a brother or a sister, you will be liable to judgment if you are angry. We're all in trouble. And if you insult a brother or a sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, people have said that to me. If you say, you fool, you will be liable to the hell of fire. Second, I got to think about that for a minute. To the people who called me a fool. Okay, we'll go on here. I'm raining judgment now, aren't I? So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or your sister has something against you, leave right then, right there. Leave the gift there and go and be reconciled. Be reconciled with your brother and sister first. And then come back and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court. This is the part I was going to get Kevin involved in. We're not talking about just plea bargaining here. We are talking about being reconciled. To come to terms with your accuser while you're on the way to court. Or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard. And you will be thrown into prison. And I'm telling you, says Jesus, you're not going to get out until you have repaid every penny. Or apologized for what you did. Or made reconciled. Okay? Now, if you think about these things closely, this is pretty harsh. Jesus says, you know, it's not just about actually killing somebody. It's about thinking about it. And it's not just about doing something wrong and thinking you're going to get away with it and then realizing you're not going to get away with it and so doing the absolute minimum that's going to get you out of the situation. It's about reconciling. It's about apologizing. It's about being one with that sister or brother again. These are hard, hard things to do. I told this story last night. I used to have when I was in Arcola, I used to have a woman who came into my office quite frequently. And she would walk right into my office and she would say, "I hate him, I hate him, I hate him, I hate him, I hate him." Well, first time she did that, I tell you what, I backed up as far as I could get. And I thought, well, she said him, so that's a good thing. What are we talking about here? She explained to me, "I don't hate him. My husband that we're talking about, I adore him. I love him with all my heart. I don't want to say, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you to him. So I come in here and I say it and I pound on the desk. And then you tell me you can't hate him. He's your husband. You can't hate anybody. Jesus says don't hate. And then I go home and I feel better." And I said, "Okay, Jesus says don't hate anybody, and you're not supposed to hate your husband, and you don't really hate your husband. Now go home." And she'd come in periodically and do that with me. That's her way of getting. She did not hate her husband. She adored her husband. They've been married longer than Girl Scouts have had cookies. But every once in a while, she just gets so frustrated. But she didn't want to say something to him that she could not take back. That might cause permanent harm. So she'd come in my office, she'd pound on my desk, and she'd say, "I hate him, I hate him, I hate him, I hate him." Now, the only problem with that was there were people in the outside office that sometimes heard her. And they didn't know she didn't mean it. And oh my, did they rain down judgment. Well, you know, she and her husband had trouble all of their lives. You know, I heard one time she had an affair. Well, I heard that he left her. Well, I heard that, whoa! Where do you all get off judging her because she walked in my office and pounded on my desk and said, "I hate him, I hate him, I hate him," and then went home and loved him? See, there's judgment. Judgment is when we make a decision based on what we think. Now, I'm not talking about what judges do in courtrooms. That's a different thing. They have to render decisions, and I'm sure Kevin has told you, will tell you, that it's not easy. Sometimes you have to render a judgment that is very hard. It's not what you want to do, it's just the right thing to do. We're not talking about that. We're talking about what we do as human beings, rendering judgments against or for anybody we want. People like us. People who are different. People who don't do things differently than we do them. Had a couple one time, he was on the road 9 months out of the year. He was an over-the-road trucker. He was on the road 9 months out of the year. He would be gone a month at a time. They had the best marriage. And everybody said, "Oh no, he's out there having affairs, and he's out there doing all sorts of terrible things, drinking and gambling and doing..." Where were they? In the back of the truck? Were they sitting next to him in the bar? Were they having an affair with him? Then how did they know that? Because their marriage wasn't like everybody else's marriage. So they just judged that it wasn't a good marriage. That's judgment. Jesus says no. Now there's this other thing called justice, where Jesus says we need to be reconciled one with another. If you have judged another, you need to go to them and say, I am sorry that I judged you. If you have harmed another, you need to go to that person and say, I am sorry that I harmed you. If you've wronged another, you need to go to that person and say, I am sorry I have wronged you. And you need to be willing to take the consequences. Justice has to do with working for what Jesus and God's ideal for the world is. And justice comes in the next little part. Jesus talks about all of these things. He gives all of these examples. And then he says in verse 38, you have heard that it was said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek as well. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give him your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 month, go 2 months with them. Give to everyone who begs from you. And do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you, even though you may not ever see that money again. It doesn't actually say that in the text, but I'm just going to add that in because you know that's what that means. And then he says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I, the Lord Jesus Christ, I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on evil and on the good. And he sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you do not love those, if you love those who love you, what reward is that? Big deal. Everybody else in the world does that too. I'm sorry, that's not in there, but that's what's implied. Do not even the tax collectors do the same thing? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than anybody else in the whole world? Well, I know that person. I'll say hello to them. But I don't know that person, so I'm not going to say anything to them. They might be a terrorist. Worse yet, they might be somebody I'd like. Do not even the Gentiles, he's speaking to Jews now primarily, do not even the Gentiles do the same thing? Be perfect, therefore, as your Lord is perfect. None of us will ever reach perfection as God knows it, but all of us are called to work to the perfection that Jesus wants for us. And that perfection focuses on justice, not on judgment. If you've ever been judged, you know what it feels like, and wrongly. I've been judged so many times in my life, I can't even tell you how many times I've been judged. I'm too short, I'm too fat, I'm a woman, I'm a this, I'm a that. I have Russian blood in the back six generations. Does that eliminate me from everybody's liking? I have been judged because I stood up. I've been judged because I sat down. I've been judged because I opened my mouth. I've been judged because I kept my mouth shut. If you've ever been in those positions where you have been judged wrongly, then you know what it feels like. Don't do that to somebody else. Instead, work for justice. God's justice. Jesus' justice. Can we just focus on loving one another? I think that's a big enough task. I mean, honestly, there are some days when loving everybody is a big job. But if we focus on that and we don't focus so much on this other stuff, we will be more content within ourselves and we will have a better world. I promise you, we will have a better world. Love your neighbor, love your enemy, pray for all. Be the perfect people I know you can be. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, I am not perfect. Perfect your love in me. Lord Jesus, I am not perfect. Perfect your forgiveness in me. Lord Jesus, I am not perfect. Perfect your grace in me. Lord Jesus, I am not perfect. Perfect your mercy in me. Spirit of God, I cannot, as a human, in my sinfulness, be perfect. But you are perfect and you live in me. You are perfect and you lead me. You are perfect and you give me breath. Breath of life and hope and faith. Perfect that which is imperfect within me. And perfect all those around me who are in desperate need of your hope. In your name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation today is Spirit, one of my very, very favorite songs to sing because it speaks of the Spirit of God blowing and challenging and pushing and loving and being gentle. And that is the Spirit of God who is all of those things. As we stand to sing today, if the Spirit of God has moved you to a place where you would like to be a part of this church family, know that you are welcome. None of us is perfect, but we are all working toward God's perfection in God's Holy Spirit. Let us stand and sing.